honestly, I always come at things from the point of view of character development. I am a sociologist by trade.
Right. You certainly developed these two characters. I'll tell you that much right now, Mom.
Hello, and welcome to Guide to the Unknown. I'm William, and I don't see my big sister Kristen anywhere around here. And that's kind of the point. It turns out that we had a sick day this week. Kristen had to call in sick. Feel better, Chrissy! So, what's the show gonna be this week? Well, everybody, I'm gonna take you back in time to something that very few people, I think, have ever heard. We've mentioned on Guide to the Unknown a handful of times that Kristen and I used to do a different podcast. Way back about 10 years ago, we started a show called Book Club Schmuck Club. The entire point of the show, it was a book review show. So every couple of weeks, we'd have read a book and then come together and talk about it. Obviously, we eventually stopped doing that show because we both sort of realized, one, it was a lot of work. And two, we really only cared about the scary books. And that's partly what brought us to Guide to the Unknown in the first place. But Book Club Schmuck Club was running for a really long time. I think we did that show for about 4 years, all told. And just like now, Book Club Schmuck Club had a Patreon. And the Patreon, of course, had bonus episodes. Episodes that only people who were backing Book Club Schmuck Club, or more specifically, our old podcast network, which we called Talk Bomb, would get access to these exclusive episodes of Book Club Schmuck Club. Well, everybody, that Patreon does not exist anymore, and in fact, over the past 2 weeks, I've been gradually archiving all of the old Talk Bomb stuff, storing it up on hard drives, making sure I've got copies of everything, because I'm a little obsessive about keeping a digital record of everything that I do. And so when Kristen called in sick this week, it presented a really interesting opportunity. I took a look at some of these old Book Club Schmuck Club Patreon shows, and I found a few that I think Guide to the Unknown listeners would really enjoy, but one in particular really stood out to me. So if you clicked play on this episode, you probably already know what you're going to get. Kristen and I did a podcast with our mom back in 2017, over 6 years ago. And on this episode, we talked about a lot of things, admittedly, a lot of things that, honestly, what you're about to hear is going to be kind of like a flashback, even more so than now. We had a tendency to sort of bring our conversations all over the place. But yeah, our mom sat down and watched the first Scream movie to sort of get a sense of why Kristen and I like it as much as we do. And it was interesting. She's not a horror fan. It was fun. I mean, if you've heard the Momster mash that we played the other day, you already know that. But it was so much fun. She had a wonderfully open mind about the conversation, but understandably had some issues about the idea of her kids, you know, back in 1996, I was what, 10 years old, seeing this, you know, incredibly intense slasher movie. And so it was a really fun, interesting conversation that I think you're all going to really enjoy. Now, before we leap right into that old show, there are a few pieces of context that I think might be helpful. One, yes, we did have an old podcast network called Talk Bomb. I did a show called Will and Bobby Know Everything. It was my first ever podcast that I did with my good buddy, one of my oldest writing partners, Bobby Kester. We did a spinoff of that show called Studio Rejects, where we would read scripts for movies, unfinished drafts of things like Prometheus, before Damon Lindelof came in and got rid of the Xenomorph. And yeah, Book Club Schmuck Club was the third that rounded it out. So you're going to hear us reference other shows and stuff. You're also going to hear me talk about this Scream script that I wrote. Evidently, when we released this episode, I had just written what I called How I Would Reboot Scream. And so you're going to hear me talk about, like, here, you can go get it on my website. And the website doesn't exist anymore. And you can follow me on Twitter. And I don't use that Twitter handle anymore. It's not even called Twitter anymore. So a few things are definitely outdated. But I think the conversation is a lot of fun. And again, this was on an old Patreon that, I don't know, maybe a couple of dozen people backed at the time. So very few people have ever heard this conversation, let alone these other shows that I've now got fully backed up. But so I hope you enjoy it. I think you'll enjoy it. And without any further ado, let's see what our mom thought of Wes Craven's magnum opus, Scream.
Hello,
Welcome to Book Club Schmook Club. This is Kristen.
This is William.
And we have a very special guest on the show this week. Who is this?
Who could it be?
My name is Kathleen Ann Elizabeth Dunn Rogers. I've given birth to both of these geniuses.
Whoa!
Confirmation name in there.
Yeah. That's like my long nickname.
Yeah, totally.
William Kenneth Bill Dunn Rogers. So you have one of those as well. I guess that's where I get it from. And Mom is on the show for a very special reason.
Yes.
If you guys are listening to this and you already know, this is an off-book show. This is to tide us all over until next week when we're going to be reading The Casual Vacancy by J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just here to talk about whatever we want.
Shoot the breeze. And what do we like, William? Scream!
We do. We do. Well, at least two of the three of us do.
Yeah.
There's a decent chance that if you're listening to this, then you already know, either through the other podcasts on Talk Bomb, Will and Bobby Know Everything, or the recently revived Studio Rejects on Wednesday.
Is that going to be a one-off, or is it like recently revived? Like
probably just a one-off.
Whatever. You can always just do it whenever you feel like it.
Exactly. Yeah. To me, nothing's ever like dead.
No.
I'm not going to like cancel a show.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a network executive.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's probably just a one-off. Although there is a script for the movie It that just got leaked for what it would have been had a different filmmaker made it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who is playing Pennywise in It?
I'm not familiar with the actor. It's like a younger guy.
Huh.
Yeah, it's weird.
Young up-and-comer.
Yeah, yeah. He's getting a start.
Yeah. I didn't watch the trailer. I am not doing that.
I'm telling you.
Will in our secret Facebook group, which you can find by searching Book Club Schmook Club that'll make it come up. But it's Book Club Schmook Club podcast.
Yeah.
If you look for that on Facebook, you can find our group where we talk about stuff. And Will put up the trailer, and he knows I really, really, really don't like clowns. But I've been trying to do exposure therapy on myself and not look away from clowns as quickly as usual.
Yeah. How is that going for you?
It seems to be going pretty well.
Exposure therapy, looking at clowns.
Yeah.
Do you just Google clowns periodically?
They come up more than you would think, so no. And I just don't like quick whip my – well, I don't whip my head. I don't whip my eyes down as fast as I usually do. I give it a beat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I don't care for that, but it's fine and I'm okay. And I just look away.
Fair enough.
Any kind of a clown? How about a clown with a red nose?
Yes, that's what I don't like. Mimes are okay. I mean, I don't like them, but – I can handle them.
Yeah.
What else is okay?
And yet you're fine with the Joker.
I would say the Joker is okay.
Yeah.
It's like a traditional circus clown.
But which Joker are you okay with? Was it Jack Nicholson?
All of them. They're all fine.
Cesar Romero is the most like clown-like.
Yeah. The clown prince of crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, all the Jokers are fine. So that makes you wonder. That begs the question. Yeah. Is it the nose?
There's like a sliding scale of clowniness. I have no idea where you're at. Because even the It clown, I mean, he's a circus-looking clown, but
it's
in the new movie...
circus clowns I don't like.
Have you seen any of the designs of him?
I just saw the thumbnail for the trailer that you posted in the group where there was like a balloon obscuring his face.
Right.
And then just his like creepy mouth below it. And I was like, nah.
Okay, yeah. I have to ask about baskets.
The show. Zach Galifianakis show.
Because I just watched, I binged on maybe three or four of them, basically because I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Secondarily, because I can't believe that somebody is actually producing that and putting it on the air.
I heard it's so good.
It has moments that are moderately entertaining, which is a lot to say.
Yes.
Because there's much more I could say, which is that it's kind of disappointing. But I was wondering how you felt about him. I don't love. He can be a clown in just about any situation, and he's not wed to his nose.
True. I love Zach Galifianakis, I would like to clarify. I don't love looking at baskets. Yeah.
Well,
I'm only peripherally aware of it.
I've heard that it's great, though, and I heard Louis Anderson's amazing.
See, and that's the other reason I wanted to see it, because I want Louis Anderson to do
well. To succeed.
Mm-hmm. I do. I think any guy who had, like, 11 brothers and sisters, and...
Is that right?
I didn't know that Louis Anderson was, like, so high on your radar, like, that you knew not only of him, but, like, you knew his family history.
I do have an odd talent for remembering nuts things like that.
What do you think?
I told Will I brought a copy of Entertainment Weekly here tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I just got the subscription because it cost me like $1 a year now.
Oh, I have man. No,
it's like a nickel a day.
Thank you. And it was a no-brainer, so I had to get it. So
what would that be? You would in 20 days, you'd pay a dollar. So it's less than that. It's less than a penny a day because there are 365 days in a year.
That's right.
It's less than a third of a penny a day.
That's not bad. I love Entertainment Weekly, actually.
Although I have to tell you that the quality of the paper has gone down. Uh-huh. Quality of the paper, not quite as thick. Not
literally.
Quite as glossy.
Oh.
Truly, truly. But I admire them for surviving and reaching out to a schlub like me who has no embarrassment about shelling out $1 for it.
Wow.
And
as
enjoying
you shouldn't.
It for 52 weeks to come. But I did bring that tonight because I think I've gotten a lot of my entertainment info from magazines in the past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stands to reason.
Yep. So I don't want you guys fighting over this. You know,
because the other point is that it's a Twin Peaks feature on it. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll fight you for it.
All right.
Well, Rochambeau.
Oh, God. All right. Well, then you win. weird. So, yeah, maybe we'll do it. Probably not. I would really like to. The audiobook, I've looked up the audiobook.
If you want to have a guest co-host
40
for...
hours is how long it would take to listen to it.
If you want to have a guest co-host for that episode of Book Club Schmoke Club, you can. I can donate.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, but I just can't do it.
The non-Kristen episode?
Yeah.
That'd be weird.
But if you really want to read it, then I don't want to get in your way.
Well, I might just do it on my own and tell you
I'm
about it at some
noble.
Point. Yeah.
You do have a streak of nobility.
I do.
But I also think you would be doing yourself a disservice. You should be able to talk about the glory that is your involvement with Twin Peaks.
Wait, we're talking about what? We're talking about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about Twin Peaks.
No.
TP, not it, I say.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. If you have to visualize the letters, you are correct. Yes. So let's talk about what we are here to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote, and you can find it online right now at www.thehauntedsponge.com/scream. I wrote a 6-page opening scene script for how I would reboot the MTV series, because they've announced that that is exactly what they are doing. I'm an aspiring writer. I'm trying something kind of experimental and different, and just kind of, I don't know, giving it a shot and putting it out there. So
you
can
throw your cowboy hat in the ring.
Yeah, exactly. My Will Rogers cowboy hat. I have a little bit of the old boy in me, just not the rope tricks.
Giddy up.
So you can literally go read my script right now.
Yeah, it's really good.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
I want to watch it.
I want to produce at least one of the images from it, the final image that I have where there are like cop car lights shining off the ghost face mask on the street with blood running around it.
Yeah.
I want to at least see that.
Like we know some illustrators. So.
I know. And it would be like, for me, because I have no like realistic expectations that this would lead to something, but it's a worthy exercise,
totally.
I think, and an impulsive try at something different.
Yeah, it's worth a shot.
I would like to have that image even just as a keepsake of the time that I tried something weird and new.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, I watched the first Scream last night.
Yes.
I actually paid for it.
Yes, so that is why, you are on the show, Mom. Mom texted me and said that she wanted to see it because we were talking about it so much.
Yeah.
And I offered, do you want to watch it with me? You said no. You wanted to give it a shot on your own. And so you're here for your review and for a little discussion.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a couple of impressions about it. Number one, I knew at the end of the movie that guy, Billy, the guy who ended up having sex with...
Nev Campbell. Spoilers for a 20-year-old movie.
I think
whatever.
We're fine.
I don't know. I'm just sensitive to that stuff because some people are. I don't know.
You have to get over that.
It's nice, but they have to get over it. A 20-year movie. Come on.
20, you can't be upset if you hear about the end of a 20-year-old movie now. All right.
But it looked like he had Robitussin down his shirt. Yeah. It wasn't blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a fake stabbing to.
So I knew. I knew that something was up with that.
Really? That's like how
that's
you
what
knew?
Tipped you off?
Oh, yeah. It was giveaway. It was not a blood color. Everybody else had like a dark blood color.
That's awesome. That's one of those things that on a secondary, like when you go back and watch the movie again, that's the thing I think stands out. But on a first watching, that's supposed to be just a shocking moment.
That's amazing.
So
that's
good.
Some Sherlock shit, Mom.
It is.
Thanks, Chris.
Good catch.
Welcome.
I mean, one of the great things about that movie is the whodunit aspect of it, where if you don't know the ending And I guess you didn't going into it. You didn't know who the killer was.
No.
You're meant to watch it wondering who could it be. So you found a big clue.
I did.
Well done.
Wow.
And I had gotten over the initial disappointment about the Jiffy Pop on the stove, which had not been removed. I knew it was going to burn. And it was bothering me that Drew kept leaving it there.
Well, she was busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then she would go and she would flip the little cardboard top of the Jiffy Pop
She was tending to it first for a little while.
She was looking at it, but she was distracted. I know. But the biggest, lousiest moment for me in that movie really was seeing her hanging and going back and forth. And I told Will last night that everything from there on was
a breeze.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
That was the most upsetting part of it. I didn't love seeing her boyfriend on the patio.
Yep.
But after that, I could handle just about everything. And everything was anticlimactic for me.
Oh, really?
After that moment where she was, you know.
That's interesting.
Do you think
dancing in the breeze.
Do you think you've watched a horror movie by yourself, like, ever?
Yes.
I just thought to myself, I don't like the idea of you watching this by yourself last night.
The only reason I did it is because my first thought, Will did offer to come over, and I was thrilled. And if you remember, I said, oh, I'd love it if you'd come.
Yeah.
And then I always feel guilty. I don't want to bring you away from anything fascinating that's going outside of my purview. So I thought, okay, I can be a big girl and watch it by myself.
Oh, is that why? I thought you didn't want me there.
No.
Almost as like I would be, because I know that, yeah, well, part of your thing with the movie was you were horrified that I saw it at 10 years old.
Well, that's the thing.
So I thought that you would have a hard time watching it and divorcing yourself from the idea that I saw it as a kid if I was in the room.
Like when we watched Batman with Mom, and she was like, oh my God, you guys watched this when you were kids?
Batman?
We watched Batman, like the Michael Keaton version, like, I don't know, last year or maybe the year before with Mom and Dad. And Mom just kept being like, oh my God. Oh my God.
It
you guys watched
me.
This when you were kids? I thought it was like a fun movie.
I really thought.
It was.
Like when Uncle Bingo got the check, Mom was like, oh my God. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Everyone remembers when Uncle Bingo got the check.
I always thought that I was on the job. Okay.
You were.
And obviously, no, I was out to lunch because I said to Will, how did you get the money to get to see Scream at age 10? Or let's say you were really mature, 11. I didn't buy it for you.
No, I don't think, I really don't. No, I don't think that you did. And I don't think that I went out and bought it and or stole it. I really think that it must have been something that kids were talking about.
Oh, it totally was.
I mean, it really can't be understated that this was a huge movie.
Overstated.
No way.
It can't be overstated.
What did I say?
Understated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it really was the first movie of its kind, not just a horror movie, but the fact that it was really taking, I still feel like it was taking like the horror aspect serious, that it was pretty funny, that it was a horror movie about horror movies. Kids were talking about it.
Well,
so
that's why
I may have found it through a friend.
That's why I think you liked it, because it, you know, something like Psycho.
Right.
When that came out, I was a little too young to have seen it in the movies. But I think that seeing it now as an adult, and they avoided showing any actual stabbing.
Right.
I think that made it scarier. This was kind of anticlimactic for me for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is that everybody was pretty much dead.
Yeah.
By the time that Robitussin boy tumbled down the stairs. So, <Yeah. laughs> and I was looking at David Arquette, goofy, doofy, funny face. He really was funny. I did not recognize Courtney Cox initially.
Oh, really?
I really didn't.
She kind of has a new face now.
That's true. Yeah. She doesn't really look the same.
Yeah. This was a while ago. But anyway, I just, let's get over it. I did not like the fact that my child, my little boy, was watching something about people having sex for the first time. And that was part of it too.
I think that stuff probably went over my head though at 10.
Well, thank God.
You know, I think that the things that I was interested in the movie was that it was, this is also like a goofball thing. I was talking about this with Allie the other day. In the 90s, I thought that I was Generation X. Like, I thought that I was like the modern youth-ish. Like, I thought that I was as old as the kids in this movie when I was 10. I wanted, when in like the mid-90s, I wanted nothing more than to be like an 18-year-old, like young adult in 90s culture. I was all about it. I loved it.
Same.
And so I think that watching this movie, some of it was like, I really like the friendships that people have in the movie. I think it's interesting the way that people talk to. I mean, yes, there's like the cornball over the top, like quippy dialogue, but I genuinely felt like some of the relationships were real. So I think that I related to it on that level and the weird horror stuff. But like,
okay, last point from
I don't think I got a lot of the drama you until were
just,
I was older.
You were just barely out of the fourth grade.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, talking about relationships and peer stuff and all that. So I would have thought that it went right over your...
Well, it probably did. You probably liked that later when you kept rewatching it later. At the time, it was probably just like, whoa, cool,
Scream
whatever.
Is one of those movies that like I watched it as a kid and continued watching it growing up, and the movie kept changing as I would watch it as I got older. Yeah, but for sure, just to start, I just thought that it was a cool movie that was doing something new that was exciting.
Well, and that's good. Yeah. And so I like hearing that. Yeah. I just can't think of a movie that I've seen 20 times, unless it was like Gone with the Wind or Gone with the Wind.
Right.
You know, or maybe
it's a lot of hours logged.
Maybe The Godfather.
Right. Yeah.
What else would it be? Oh, a lot of Woody Allen before, you know, he was
creepy.
You know.
Well-known creepy.
When he was undercover creepy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not even that undercover, though. No. Like, all his movies are... Well, no, just because all of his movies are, like, about a teenager who's attracted to, like, him.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I mean? Yeah. So, kind of undercover, hiding in plain sight, perhaps. Well, Manhattan, come on.
It's
you guys know what
all,
I'm talking about.
Manhattan is classic.
It's because he's the main character, like you come to expect in a lot of movies that there's going to be a romantic subplot.
Yeah, but does it have to be a 16-year-old?
No, but
who thinks he's cool at 40?
Wait, is that what Manhattan?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, she's in school and stuff. And he's like a 40-year-old Woody Allen.
What?
He meets her at a soda shop to break up with her.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, it's gross.
Why didn't I know this?
I don't know. Manhattan. I guess you haven't seen Manhattan.
Because you were
that'll
watching
do it.
Scream.
No, I think I saw it. I may have been like, enough of this. Back with more Scream.
What will comfort me?
Yeah.
Scream.
So all right.
Robitussin boy.
So now I want to know, forgetting that I saw it when I was 10 and that it's alarming to you, you watched it now as an adult. And thumbs up, thumbs down. Let's go Roger Ebert. How do you feel about it?
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, you're
right. So let's not go full Roger Ebert.
Yeah, let's maybe hold back a little bit.
Who's alive that we can...
Richard Roper?
Yeah.
Okay. No, he's...
No, Gene Siskel died. That's what you're thinking
of. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I think I told you last night because we were writing one another. I think I found it somewhat entertaining. Really, after I got over that initial Drew Barrymore thing. And it's not that it was Drew Barrymore per se. It was that she was trying so hard and was so dim-witted to lock the house and not have anything horrid happen to her. After that, I was looking at Henry Winkler, kind of into that. You know, I can't, because his career obviously had been better at one point and really was not rollicking then.
No.
Nor has it really since.
Now he's kind of like stunt casting. He's like one of those people that you cast just because he's Henry Winkler and everyone knows him.
Well, he's also doing...
At the time, it was kind of a joke.
But he's doing commercials for reversible mortgages for people that are 70 years old.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, I thought it was entertaining afterwards. I was proud of myself for having watched it as a symbol of my undying love for you, trying to understand you.
Do you feel you understand me better?
I am less threatened.
By Will. And I think I'll be pulling back.
By the idea of this movie after having seen it. I found it threatening because you were so all in on it.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty hardcore tendency to oversell
threatening
stuff.
Threatening is the wrong word, okay? It wasn't threatening. I just was concerned because I couldn't understand why. Like, Allie wrote something about you the other day. My husband has been into this movie for a long time, and I just thought, wow, how many people know this? I couldn't give a reason for why you loved it until I saw it. Now I see the humor, and I see the plot twists. And I see the fact that it could be something that a teenage kid gets into.
Yeah. Well, here's a question then. Do you have a single ounce of curiosity for what happens in Scream 2?
I am struggling right now.
You can be totally honest. If the answer is never want to see any more of this, then that's the answer.
No, I think that I should.
You don't have to.
But that's what it comes down to. I feel like I should. You know, if it's $3.99 per rental, I'll do it. If I have to buy anything more than $3.99, no, I shouldn't.
Right. Well, my thing is you don't have to buy it even when it is $3.99.
Do you have it here?
Yeah, of course I do.
But you also just don't have to watch it. Like, what the hell's the difference?
It's not
the
key. My answer is on it, because I think that we're keeping it very much on the level of, like, this is a movie that Will likes, but
it's not the
level
key
of,
to
like,
understanding Will.
No, not at all. And my question
especially
is more like, on the level of, like, you watch the story of, like, a girl that's being stalked by a serial killer. Do you have any interest in seeing where that story progresses?
No.
Yeah, there you go. And that's my question.
I like happy. Yeah. I was watching Grace and Frankie before I came over here.
Oh, I've heard that's delightful.
I've seen a few episodes of that. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My friend Susan loves it.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's more in my speed.
Okay.
I like watching things that you guys are interested in, and that's why I watch.
Well, then this, I think, is your opportunity to say, hey, great. I tried it. I gave it a shot. Mm-hmm. I can see what there would be to like, but I didn't like it. And that's a completely valid viewpoint.
There is no need for me to say it. You just said it.
Okay. Well, there you go. So I kind of talked about it a little before we started recording. So I've been sharing my script online.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say that the vast majority of people who tweet back at me or whatever say that they liked it. Or I've had like a good amount of people tweeting at MTV telling them that they should read it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I don't think that is something that can happen. I think there is like a hard, fast rule for the most part about you're really not supposed to read unsolicited scripts.
Yeah, did you ever look up anything about where to send it directly?
Yes, mm-hmm. I've taken a couple of others. I've got it hosted on The Blacklist, which is a screenplay website.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But that's an experiment. It's $25 a month to host a script there. And my thing is really just like a small... Like it's what I wrote is really just like a teeny pitch.
Yeah.
So it probably doesn't really belong there, but I've decided $25 is a valid experiment for 1 month to see if anybody looks at it. So even though most people have been really sort of into it, genuinely, it seems they like what I wrote. There have been a few people and not in any crazy, huge, horrible way.
Dastardly trolls.
Kind of, because I've posted it. There's a forum. It's called Reddit. You can post whatever you want. People are able to comment on what you've written, and they can either give it basically a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Real quick aside, is 4chan still a thing?
Yeah, but...
It is? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if everybody from 4chan then filtered onto Reddit because it was done or something, then... Who boy were you in for it?
Oh, right.
But I guess not.
Right. Yeah. Okay. No. No
but
one's
Reddit
like
can still be pretty gnarly.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Not that anybody like really like threw stones at me or anything.
No, I know.
But like I would write, here's how I would reboot Scream. And then I've gotten multiple comments of people being like, let me save you some time. Don't. I'd be like, all right. Like
it's funny.
And then literally like, and then I'll get like another notification. I'll click on it and it'll just say, don't. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, that other guy just said that dork.
Yeah, like multiple things where
seriously.
It's just like on some
because
level.
It's so perfect. It's such a gem that it can't be buffed anymore.
Well, no, I think the point is don't beat the dead horse. There are four movies.
That's like dunzo.
There are four of these movies. There are two seasons of a TV show and a TV movie. That's a lot.
I understand.
That is a
their
lot
point.
Of Scream. I completely understand their point. Yeah. And I think it's a valid one. Yeah. Leave it alone. Where I'm coming from is they're making it anyway.
Mm-hmm, totally.
I know how to fix it. That's my
and there's still some juice
point.
In this berry, I think.
Yeah.
There's still some juice in this berry.
Still some juice in this
you know,
berry.
Honestly, I always come at things from the point of view of character development. I am a sociologist by trade.
Right.
You certainly developed these two characters. I'll tell you that much right now, Mom.
Waka, waka, waka.
I would love to know how Wes Craven and his partner, wasn't there a partner?
The writer was a guy, his name is Kevin Williamson.
Okay, so how did they come up with this? What do they think about it now? Are they both still alive?
One of them is. Wes Craven died a few years ago.
Okay, and Harvey
Weinstein.
Weinstein.
Not Firestein.
I wish Harvey Firestein.
I wanted to say
screen.
Harvey Brilst. Brilst.
Brillo.
Wait, who?
No. I had my Harveys mixed up. But in any event.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
But wait, who's Harvey Brillstone or whatever you were going to say?
There used to be this thing for hair called Brill Cream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where part of the commercial was a little dab will do ya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have
little
to use
dabby.
You don't have to use a whole lot of Brill Cream to look really shellacked.
Right.
And I got that mixed up with Harvey. I was thinking Harvey Brillstein, who used to work with Gary Shandling.
Okay. All right. All right.
Okay.
Tedious.
I'm seeing it.
No, that's okay. So basically there was Kevin Williamson was he was not a he had no connections in the movie industry, but he wrote Scream.
Oh.
And I knew the story at one time, and
like
I could easily call it up. Well, he got his script. He wrote a script called
Just
Scary
like
Movie.
You. Just like you. Yeah,
exactly like me. He wrote a script called Scary Movie, and then there was this huge bidding war in Hollywood for someone to buy it. Everybody wanted it. It became this hot commodity, and he became like a highly sought-after writer. And then Scary Movie eventually was purchased by Miramax,
okay,
who owns Dimension Pictures, okay, which is their like genre publishing company. And through that, they got Wes Craven, who had created Freddy Krueger.
Oh.
He was then attached to direct.
And also last night in the movie, there was some Joker who was dressed up like Freddy Krueger.
Mom, you're very good at this.
That was Wes Craven.
It was?
That was Wes Craven. That was a cameo by
you're
the director.
You're very good at spotting these little things.
Cameo by the director as his most famous creation.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
That was it. See, that's what I mean. There were it's moments fun. Of enjoyment.
Well, yeah. Then honestly,
it's self-referential, which is fun.
I wonder, yes. The gore and the intensity of the series definitely drops off from here. I'm not going to advocate that you watch more. Genuinely, I'm not saying that you should watch more. But the comedy ramps up and the intensity ramps down.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, then I would be interested.
We could watch Scream 3.
Ugh.
Why can't I watch Scream
3? Well, I wonder now. Well, I mean, you could. But my point is that Scream 3 is the one that I think is out and out broadly comedy. It is. The reason you don't like it is because you don't like
not
the
funny.
You don't like the comedy. But humor is so subjective. If you found the jokes in that movie funny, you would love it.
I guess
that
you're right.
It's a comedy.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not a horror movie.
Mom's not going to think that's funny.
No, I don't think you will. But if you like that Wes Craven dressing as Freddy Krueger.
Well, I don't think it cracked her up.
No, but you liked
it. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, you liked it.
Yeah.
like Carrie Fisher is
Mom's sitting in the dark just like...
Carrie Fisher is in Scream 3.
She is?
Yeah, she has a little cameo in Scream 3.
Oh, yeah. Does she have Gary, her dog?
No, I think it was a little early.
Perhaps right off screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something I did not like in Scream 1, could we use the word gutted a little less?
I know. One of the things that I think happens in Scream that doesn't happen in the next movies in the series, there's a weird thing about hunting in Scream 1.
Yeah.
That I think was part of what made it so frightening. Scream 1 is a movie that, you know, by and large could happen.
Yeah, totally. Somebody could cut you from groin to sternum.
Yeah, you're right. It's not a movie where things happen that are not physically possible, except for Tatum. Who gets killed in that doggy door.
That was unbelievable. See,
goofball
was,
nuts.
That was like laugh out loud.
That was like
so
Looney
stupid.
Tunes, Wile E. Coyote.
So funny.
Completely agree.
So I am desensitized to human suffering.
Well, after you see Drew Barrymore.
I saw that.
Yeah, the Drew Barrymore part's freaky.
I'm surprised that you weren't hit by anything in the rest of the movie. Because I feel like at the end, when Billy and Stu are stabbing each other in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's
that
twisted.
Is very... They're
like mad and
the,
like...
The actor who plays Billy, whose real name is Billy.
Skeet.
Billy Ray Trout. Is Skeet Ulrich's real name?
Got him like a trout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a playful quality to him in any way. He is a very frightening actor in that scene. And
it's
I think that
dicky.
Is as every bit as intense as the opening with Drew Barrymore. Where was it going?
Let me think. Hunting stuff?
Oh, yeah. There's a weird, you know, they're interviewing kids in town and asking if they like to go hunting because Drew Barrymore's character was gutted, mm-hmm. the word you don't like in the movie.
It is like a really gross.
It is gross. Yeah. And even Ghostface in that first attack on Drew Barrymore, I always thought, and I've never really heard anyone else point this out, but I think it is true. He strategically stabs her so that she can't make a sound, which is the kind of like weirdly sadistic, planned out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
and
almost
smart.
It's smart. It's almost like a weird knowledge of anatomy. Mm-hmm.
Do you not think that somebody has to be weirdly sadistic just from the get go?
Oh,
this killer was very sadistic.
Now I was fine with
more
everything
than,
he was doing
more
up
than
until
you
then.
Would think. Yeah.
And then things got wacky. I'm starting to think this guy is not a good guy.
This guy has issues.
Yeah.
It's not on the up and up.
Yeah, good point. But still, I feel like that's not something that you see in other movies. There's a reality to the violence in Scream.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the violence in Scream that's not like Freddy.
Besides Tatum's fake doll head getting smushed in the.
Well, yeah, for sure. But like Freddy Krueger, you know, if you get stabbed by Freddy Krueger, you can by and large like get back up and start running away. But if Ghostface.
Because it's in your dream? Is that why?
Well, no. Like, I feel like, you know, it's the same thing with, like, Jason Voorhees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many scenes are there of you running from Jason Voorhees and he's slowly stalking after
you? Oh, yeah.
And he wounds you and you keep running.
Is your point about Freddy that he walks after you?
I mean, my point is...
I haven't really
My point is that there's an immediacy to the ramifications of violence in the Scream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get stabbed and you're almost down for the count right there.
Yeah.
Because you've been goddamn stabbed.
Yeah.
Like...
And, like, no joke stabbed.
But they're looking... Yeah. They're aiming for the liver. That's another word that got used a lot.
Liver alone.
Liver.
Whoops, joke.
Did you really put her liver in the mailbox?
Ew, you're right. They do talk about liver a lot.
They do say liver a lot. Yeah.
Hey, I was paying attention.
Yeah.
I almost brought notes here tonight.
I would have loved that.
Wait, did you take notes?
I did.
Really?
They're in the core.
I would love
to see your... I would love to see your Scream notes. Can we post a picture of them online?
I'm lying.
Oh, damn it. I would have loved that.
I was about to put my shoes on and be like, you guys talk for a second. I'll be right back.
Yeah. All right, I'll see you in the kitchen with a knife.
I did. I thought about it. But
never
I think,
made sense.
No.
I think you have to know that the depth of my devotion anyway. Right?
I was shocked when you said you wanted to watch it to
me
be
too. I was very surprised.
This is not a movie that...
I love you.
Yeah. It's not a mommy movie.
Yeah, but there's no requirement to watch it because you love me.
Honey, there have been lots of things that were not requirements that I did.
Fair enough.
This is just...
So how do you feel...
Chalk up another effort.
Put up another one on the big board.
Another one down.
Another sacrifice for my children.
Take another chunk of flesh. It's insane.
Mom, will you watch Rock of Love for me to understand me more? The Bret Michaels reality show from 2005?
I would do it in a heartbeat. Honey.
Okay, good.
You might like that more.
Yeah, maybe. Actually, I think you would like that.
Yeah. All right. I don't think there's even anything left to say. I think we've just about covered it all.
Probably.
Yeah.
Scream rules.
Scream does rule.
Yeah.
Scream does rule. How do you feel about my script, if I can get a critique on my writing?
You know, you've always said that Kristen is a really good writer, and you're accurate. She is.
Yeah.
That's right. I am.
It's true.
Thank you.
But you are, in this case as well, a really good... I can see you not stewing over your words. They're just kind of coming out because you're trying to make the reader really understand and see the scene. So I thought that it was a very well done effort.
Thank you. That's mm-hmm. very nice. Thank you very much. So you hear that, Hollywood? My mommy says it was great. Take it all the way to the bank. I'm going to be a zillionaire. A new kid on Hollywood Boulevard. So why don't we leave it up to the rest of the listening audience?
Yeah.
Our
fate is in your hands.
Yeah. Part of the reason that I'm doing it this way is because I'm enjoying right now... being a little bit impulsive and just kind of putting things on the internet to see how they do. So if you like it, I'd really appreciate it if you share it, because this is kind of an experiment for me to see if I should continue to do stuff like this, to put like small little teeny videos and ideas online.
Yeah, the video was really well done too, by the way.
Did
that take a long time? It's like really well produced.
It did. Allie challenged me to film and produce a video that was 2 minutes or less,
mm-hmm.
and I failed.
Yeah, but it's only 2.5 minutes.
I know. Yeah. I know. Mom actually helped me edit that video.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I was there.
Yeah, cool. That's right. She was my co-director.
Part of the whole process.
That's right. There from the beginning.
Just remember that when you start to see all those zeros at the end of your check.
Oh! I won't forget where I came from, okay? I'll take care of you guys. I'll take care of you.
All right, all right.
Yeah,
all I'm asking.
But yeah, I really would be curious to hear what people have to say.
Yeah, please give him some feedback. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
And he can take anything. He can take harsh feedback as well. He wants ideas.
There was one guy who replied, and he was like, "Let me say this clearly. Don't write other people's idea, like all what? Caps in bold, write your own ideas."
What?
And I said, "Did you have to be that aggressive in your reply?" And he goes, "I don't know how I can say it any plainer." I suppose
you can't.
I think I stated my feelings quite plainly. I was like, "Yeah, I think you did."
Yes, I won't argue that point.
Yeah, I think you've got a problem that's bigger than me putting my little scream script online.
Okay, okay, Mo.
Thanks a lot, Mo.
Point taken.
So I think that's it for us here on Book Club Schmook Club this week.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to be reading The Casual Vacancy with us, this is your reminder.
I hope you already started, because it's like 18 hours long on Audible.
I know. I've seen. Yeah. I will be starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you read and or listen all the way through. We're going to be talking about it next Friday.
Yep.
And if you have any thoughts about this episode, literally what we've talked about, or Scream the movie, or my script, the pitch, or you just want to talk to us, you can do that on the internet.
I'm at Chillin' Kristen on Twitter and Instagram.
I am at Haunted Sponge, as well as
Sponge,
as well as at Will Rogers 2000.
I live in South Plainfield with a dog and two cats.
That's right. So if you guys just kind of cruise around South Plainfield, New Jersey, be on the lookout. You might find someone who is our mom. It might not be. I think there may be other people who have a dog and two cats. So just, you know, be aware that you may not get the right person. But it's worth trying. Thank you very much for joining us for this show, Mom. I really appreciate it.
Yep, it was a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
I want to do it again and again and again.
Well, we'll do reviews of Scream 2, 3, and 4, and then you and I will do a podcast all about the Scream TV series together.
Oh, boy, we have our work laid out for us.
Yes, we do. I've got a whole plan for the next 5 years.
And relax, Mo. He's fine.
Yeah. Chill back, Mo. My mom says to leave me alone.
Yeah, scram. Buzz off.
Listen to my mom, Mo.
Who asked you anyway?
My mommy loves me. And we will see you guys next week for another show. But until then, good talk, gang.
Meeting adjourned. Mommy?
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Wow. Welcome back to 2023, everybody. What an interesting thing to listen back to. I mean, I hope you all enjoyed it, but selfishly for me, it's so interesting and strange to hear. We did that every single week, Book Club Schmook Club, and I really enjoyed doing it. And I know there are a bunch of people out there who have been with us since those days. But how weird, a different sign-off. It feels like peeking into an alternate universe or something like that. And a huge, huge thank you to Mom, who is always an incredibly good sport, and that was fun. You know, honestly, probably the worst thing to come out of re-listening to this episode is I don't think I ever did make her watch Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 4, Scream 5, or Scream 6. So maybe we'll have to take care of that. I don't know. Maybe. But I hope you enjoyed it, everybody. And if you did, we're going to be back next week. We'll do a Guide to the Unknown proper, fingers crossed. But until that time comes, please consider backing this show on patreon.com/gttupod. You know what Patreon is, number of tiers, find the one that fits, get a ton of bonus shows. And we think that you'll really, really enjoy those as well. Follow Kristen online at Chillin' Kristen. I am not at Haunted Sponge. I am at The Myth Traveler these days. You cannot find that Scream script, by the way. All my old websites are down, down, down. But don't worry, my gears are always turning, and they'll be back online someday in a new format, I think. I mean, this episode should be proof that I do not forget anything that I have worked on, ever. At GTTUpod, everybody, for more. And thank you so much for hanging out with us. We will see you next week for some prime Guide to the Unknown spooky goodness. But until that time comes, I must travel.
back to the Netherworld, go meet. And feel better, Chrissy. Oh, and happy 6 years of Guide to the Unknown. If you're listening, we've been doing this show for 6 years, officially, as of November 15th, which is also our father's birthday. Happy would-be 89th birthday, Dad. We love you.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.